Today's excerpts are taken from an EMI recording featuring Gunda Lejanowicz as Ariadne, Sylvia Gesti as Zerbinetta, Teresa Zilisgara as the composer, and James King as Bacchus. Rudolf Kemper conducts the Staatskapelle Dresden. And special thanks to Nicholas Ivor Martin for his help in preparing this commentary, and to EMI for providing the musical excerpts. Once Hofmannsthal became convinced that audiences were not going to open their arms to Ariadne as a Molière epilogue, he cast about for ways to revive the project. The one-act opera is about the simultaneous performance of a commedia dell'arte and an opera. Out of context, it made no sense. So Hofmannsthal drew on his own real-life experience producing the play opera. He wrote a new first act to set the scene. Sticking with the idea of a chamber opera, Hofmannsthal invented his own crass bourgeois gentilhomme who throws a party with three planned entertainments: an opera, a commedia dell'arte performance, and fireworks. When Hofmannsthal proposed the new act to Strauss in 1913, the composer was reluctant. To postpone work on his monumental Frau ohne Schatten due to premiere in Vienna to fix a previous failure was a distraction. For the next 3 years, Strauss worked on Frau, completing Acts 1 and 2. But when Hofmannsthal fell behind on the libretto for Act 3, Strauss at last found the time to revise Ariadne, dashing off the new act in a matter of weeks. Since Hofmannsthal no longer had to accommodate the Molière original, he moved the location to Vienna, into the house of a rich man of questionable taste. Preparations are underway for the evening's festivities. It opens with the music master pestering the owner's majordomo about the entertainment. Surely the master does not mean to profane the performance of the opera by pairing it with an Italian farce. The majordomo, one of several characters Hofmannsthal created for the two-act revision, never sings a note. The part is played by an actor, which makes for an amusing contrast. The musician sings, while the butler responds in speech. You can sense the butler's exasperation.
Mein Herr Haushofmeister, mein Herr Haushofmeister, Sie suche ich im ganzen Hause.
Womit kann ich dienen? Muss allerdings bemerken, dass ich pressiert bin. Die Vorbereitungen zur heutigen großen Assemblée im Hause des reichsten Mannes in Wien, wie ich meinen gnädigen Herrn wohl betiteln darf.
Ein Wort nur! Ich höre soeben, was ich allerdings nicht begreifen kann.
Und das wäre...
The music master wonders how he'll break the news to his student, who is the composer of Ariadne. Of the added characters, it is this composer who is the most important, and he now rushes on stage, worried about the premiere of his opera. The composer is a trouser role, a male character played by a female singer. This was a well-known convention in 18th century opera, and Mozart's Cherubino is perhaps the best known. The tradition survived well into the 19th century. Oscar in Verdi's Ballo in Maschera is a trouser role, as is Siebel in Gounod's Faust, Niklaus in Offenbach's Tales of Hoffmann, and Hansel in the Humperdinck Hansel and Gretel. In all of these cases, the character being portrayed was a young boy, so the use of a female voice made sense for the character, but also allowed the composer the flexibility of having a fully developed artist rather than a young boy. Last time Lyric performed Gounod's Romeo and Juliet, there was an irate complaint about the company's lesbian reinvention of Shakespeare. How could we have thought to cast Romeo as a woman? But of course, that was how the role was written in 1867. By the 20th century, almost no composer thought of writing a trouser role. The whole practice seemed a quaint throwback to an earlier time. In fact, I can think of only two well-known trouser roles composed in the 20th century. Both are from Strauss operas that take place in the 18th. The composer in Ariadne and the randy young Octavian in Rosenkavalier. On stage, everything is chaos. The composer wants to have a last-minute rehearsal with the violins, but the violins are busy. They have to play while the guests eat their dinner. The tenor hates his wig. The comedienne from the Commedia dell'arte troupe, Zerbinetta, is afraid that her audience won't laugh after the boring opera. The prima donna insists she must speak with his lordship. The composer finds Zerbinetta most attractive, until the music master breaks the news to him that Zerbinetta's farce is going to follow his opera. Listen for the imitation of a donkey. When the composer talks about the uncultured mob, you can hear that he's thinking they're all asses. Then, right in the middle of his tirade, the composer thinks of a new melody and is off improvising words to it. Remembering what is about to happen, the composer berates his music master, who cautions him that what cannot be cured must be endured. The young man finds small comfort in this advice. Zerbinetta fumes that the opera will kill her comedy, but the dancing master reassures her. After eating a big meal, the audience will fall asleep during the opera. Then they will wake up, enjoy the comedy, and go home remembering only Zerbinetta's fabulous dancing. The contrast between Zerbinetta and the composer could not be more stark musically. Being a comedienne, her music is all light, dancing, and humorous, compared to the Sturm und Drang we get from the composer.
Ist beschwert und wenig aufgelegt. Man macht unbemerkt ein Schäfchen, klatscht dann aus Höflichkeit und tut sich wach zu machen. Indessen ist man ganz munter geworden. Was kommt jetzt, sagt man sich. Die ungetreue Zerbinetta und ihre vier Liebhaber, ein heitres Nachspiel mit Tänzen, leichte, gefällige Melodie, ja, eine Hand und klar wie der Tag. Da weiß man, woran man ist, das ist unser Fall, sagt man sich, da wacht man auf, da ist man bei der Sache. Und wenn Sie in Ihren Karossen sitzen, wissen Sie überhaupt nichts mehr, als dass Sie die unvergleichliche Zerbinetta mit.
A servant warns the performers to prepare. Dinner is ready and the performance will soon begin. You can hear what sounds like an orchestra tuning up. But another surprise is in store. To keep the fireworks on schedule, the master of the house has decreed that the opera and the comedy will be performed simultaneously. The news is spoken by the majordomo, who seems to be taking some pleasure in thwarting these pesky artists.
Die Herrschaften stehen von Tisch auf. Man sollte sich hier beeilen. Meine Damen und Herren, in den Plätzen!
Ihnen allen habe ich eine plötzliche Anordnung meines gnädigen Herrn auszurichten.
Ist schon geschehen. Wir sind bereit, in 3 Minuten mit der Oper Ariadne anzufangen.
Der gnädige Herr haben sich nunmehr wiederum anders besonnen.
Es soll also nicht mit der Oper begonnen werden.
Was ist das?
Um Vergebung. Wo ist der Herr Tanzmeister? Ich habe einen Auftrag meines gnädigen Herrn für Sie beide.
Was wünscht man von mir?
Mein gnädiger Herr, belieben, das von ihm selbst genehmigte Programm umzustoßen.
Jetzt, im letzten Moment, das ist doch ein starkes Stück.
Umzustoßen und folgendermaßen abzuändern.
Das Nachspiel wird Vorspiel. Wir geben zuerst die ungetreue Terminetta, dann Ariadne, sehr vernünftig.
Um Vergebung. Die Tanzmaskerade wird weder als Nachspiel noch als Vorspiel aufgeführt, sondern mit dem Trauerstück Ariadne gleichzeitig.
The best reaction comes from the prima donna, who asks operatically if his lordship is a lunatic.
Ist dieser reiche Herr besessen?
Will man sich über uns lustig machen?
Sind die Leute wahnsinnig? Ich muss augenblicklich den Grafen sprechen.
Of course, all their protests are in vain. The composer still objects, but the other performers want their payment, so they agree to work together. The music can be cut down, and Zerbinetta and her performers are accustomed to improvising. If cuts have to be made, the tenor says, make them from Ariadne's part. The soprano returns the favour. The dancing master gives Zerbinetta a quick summary of the plot of the opera. When she hears how Ariadne is pining for a lost love, Zerbinetta tries to convince the composer that all Ariadne needs is another boyfriend to replace the one she's lost. The exchange ends with Zerbinetta telling the composer that she is much deeper than she appears. No one, she says, is more lonely than I, who smile and play the coquette. After all the fast-paced, recitative-like music, it is only as the prologue draws to a close that we get the full-throated, liquid music that we expect from Richard Strauss. The composer is smitten with the beautiful Zerbinetta and agrees to the performance, only to change his mind and run off in despair as the performance begins.
Unterliegen ja recht gut.